I want to welcome you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible next to you, go to John chapter 20, verse 19. We have been going through a short series called The First. These are the first that Jesus has emphasized for us as Christians to walk in. The first one was seek ye first the kingdom of God, which means for us that we apply the principles of the kingdom to our lives and we live according to the spirit of them, not as a legal tenant. The next thing we went through was dealing with reconciliation of our relationships. It's more important to have our relationships reconciled one unto another than it is to play church or have a religious attitude in church, because we cannot focus on God and give Him our total worship. Jesus said that those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the reality of it is the totality of our being must be involved in worship. Next thing that he stated was that we should first take the log out of our own eye. And that talks about us being judgmental with one another. And the problem with that is I was always taught that if I point my finger at somebody's wrongdoing, I always have three more things pointing back at me. So it's real important that we not judge each other, but look at a way that if someone is struggling in their walk and they know that they're struggling, the best thing for us to do is jump in there and help them, not tell them what their problem is. Let's face it, we know that all of us have done wrong. We just don't need someone else telling us that. We're looking for someone to help us through those times in order to become successful. Then Jesus talked about, first you must bind a strong man in your life. Jesus is talking about here is that the believer has power and an authority that they do not utilize. And so what happens is because they don't utilize it, they're not living a successful life that God has designed for each one of us. And so we emphasize the importance of knowing. And this is one of the reasons for the women's tea. Knowing who you are in Christ, knowing what power and authority God has given to you to live a successful, victorious life, not a life that's under condemnation or guilt, but one that's filled with joy, peace, and love. Amen. Then we talked about, first have God resident within your heart. And we talked about how all the things of the world is placed into our heart, and we need to clean that junk out of our hearts, because we want God resident within us. God says to us to be holy as He's holy. And that's not talking about an abstained purity of life. It's talking about living a life that is morally clean, that is more or less becoming an adult, not following after the childish things of the world and staying childish in those things. And then last week we talked about dealing with areas of hypocrisy in our own lives. And really, all of us are hypocrites to a certain degree. And I talked with a fellow last night who's looking for a perfect church, and I told him, I said, you're not going to find a perfect church here on earth. It's just impossible because it's filled with a bunch of hypocrites. And he goes, that's what exactly I'm talking about. And I said, but you don't realize that's what God has chosen. He has chosen us, that all of us will fail one another. All of us are full of faults and problems. What we need to do is learn how to pitch in and help each other, not find fault with one another, and not say we're going to live one way and live another way, but learn to live a successful Christian life in which the world will look at us and say, I want what they got. How do I get it? And the problem today is that people don't want to walk in that way. And so today what we want to do is we're dealing with the last first that Jesus is emphasizing, and that's the first day principle. The Jews always had a Sabbath. They always celebrated on a Sabbath, which is a Saturday in which they come together and they worship God. And John 20 verse 19 says, and then on the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and saying, peace be with you. And then Hebrews 12 or 10:25 says, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. I don't want us to come away here, browbeating you in saying that you've got to be in church every Sunday. What I want to do is show you how far away we have drifted from God and drifted away from the principles, the elementary principles of why we assemble together on Sunday. It used to be said, I'm reading a quote from an unknown author, that the person who made this quote said that our great-grandparents used to call Sunday the great holy Sabbath, in which we would come together and we would worship God, we would fellowship one with another, and that would be our day. We would have a day of rest. Then he said that our grandparents used to call it Holy Sunday, where we would come together and we would worship God, and at the end of the day, after service, businesses would open up and have an abbreviated time of merchandising from 1 to 6 p.m. Then he said that in our parents' day, we used to call it just Sunday, where some of us would go to church and some of us would have to work those jobs because the businesses are open at 9 o'clock now and people have to go to work. And the rest of us would just take the Sundays off. And today, our generation calls it the weekend, where very few go to Sunday service to honor God. Hardly even those would go to work, but they're living for their own selfish needs. And so what I want us to see is how far in just three generations we have drifted from realizing the importance of what Sunday is all about. Sunday is not a day that we set aside to make it a legal thing. Sunday has a purpose. It's the day that the Lord had rose from the dead. It's the day that he, as it says here, he met with the disciples that evening and said, "Peace be unto you." And we gather together on Sunday. Other believers gather on other days of the week, and that's fine. But we gather together so that we can express our love, our gratitude, our commitment to God, share communion with one another, and edify, encourage, and exhort each other unto good works and living for God. Not doing stuff, but being who God has created us to be. And I was saying to this fellow last night that it's not a matter of doing all the right things. That's what church has turned into becoming, doing these things. It's a matter of being who God created you to be and to live the way that God has ordered us to live, and that is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's what we strive here at Streams to do, is to live those two rules to its fullest. And I believe we're kind of successful in that, because we're not telling people what they need to do. We just give them the facts to understand why we do what we do. The relevancy of Sunday service is one that if we start our week off with God, it sets the tone for the rest of the week. And I can't speak for anybody else, but I look forward to Sunday service, getting together with believers, hearing what God's doing in their lives, encouraging them to build them up in their faith. But also, I understand the importance of how it is to continue with God through the rest of the week. And all of us, I don't know about you, but I work outside, and this heat was terrible. It was ungodly. And I was shutting my guys down, telling them to go home for the day. And I don't even employ them. They work for me via another contractor. But I was telling them to go home. And their employer was dumbfounded I would let them leave. I'm like, why not? It's brutal out here. All it is I'm having compassion and exhibiting that compassion in a way that is just rational and sane. That if I was on the other end, I would hope that someone would want that for me. Because you know what? I would work harder for that person because they're showing me something that I don't normally get. In 1994, there was a survey taken that 48% of churchgoers attend only one service a month. That's between 20 and 25% of the services a month. And 75% of them are MIA. They're doing other things. They're constantly not thinking about God. And I would say to you and submit this to you that imagine where you would be if you only showed up for your job 3 to 4 days a week. Would you have a job? So what is your relationship to Jesus Christ like if only you attend church 25% of the time? The survey also revealed some really interesting things why people don't attend church. They say that for every person that is committed to attending church, 3 have no spiritual affiliation at all. In other words, they don't even go to church. They may claim themselves to be Christians or Methodists or whatever denomination they are, but they don't affiliate themselves. They say it's boring, it's irrelevant. They're always asking for money or we're just too busy. We feel awkward. The pastor, when he speaks his messages, he's talking about me. They want to sleep in, and if they show up at church, it's usually 15 minutes to 30 minutes late. And really, you know, they should be glad I show up anyhow. They don't have any fun. It's too noisy. My kids don't like going. You see, today's church goer is a consumer. They're not there to come for God and to worship God and love on God and express their gratitude for what He has done and what He will continue to do. They're there for what is the latest craze in Christendom. Buying music, buying tapes, buying books. Quality child care. Do they have an active youth group? All these things. And believe me, these things are important in the church, and the church should supply those things, but not merchandise them in such a way that people come because of those things, not because they come because they want a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. And so what we do is we tend to affiliate ourselves to those things that really have no consequences. Let me read a letter to you by a pastor. It says, "Dear Pastor, you have often stressed the importance of attendance for Christians on Sunday worship. But I believe as a person has a right to miss service now and then. And I think every person ought to be excused for the following reasons and a number of times indicated. Christmas, Sunday, before or after, one time. Independence Day, national holiday, you need to miss one day there. Sunday school opens, last day to party out. Easter, get away for the holidays, 2 Sundays. Mother's Day and Father's Day, one day each. School closings, kids need a break from school too, one day. Family reunions, mine and my wife's, 3 Sundays. Sleep in, too much partying on Saturday night, we'll take 4 Sundays. Death in a family, 4 times, 4 Sundays. An anniversary, which would be work out to our second honeymoon, 1 time. Sicknesses, 1 per family member, 5 Sundays. Business trips, can't help because I have to work, 4 Sundays. Vacation, 4 Sundays. Kids' sports and activities, 5 Sundays. Bad weather, either it's too cold or too hot, 4 Sundays. Unexpected company shows up. After all, we can't just leave them. We have to show hospitality, 5 Sundays. Specials on TV, Super Bowl Sunday and the rest, 3 Sundays. Then he finishes, he says, "Pastor, this leaves only 2 Sundays in which you could count on us for being in church, on the 4th Sunday of February and the 3rd Sunday in August, if all things go well." Actually, it works out that he's planned 50 Sundays, and if he can figure out 2 more Sundays to get out, he's really not committed to his church or to Jesus Christ. And that's a sad testimony to find out that people feel justified in sending letters like this to to their pastors, and they wonder why their spiritual lives and their families are all messed up. We have to understand that you can be saved and yet alienated from the body of Christ. What I mean by that is, you may have committed your life to Jesus Christ, but with no spiritual affiliation, you're not growing in your walk with God. You may have a critical eye about everything in life. You may look at individuals in a very despondent way. And what happens is, we were designed not only to have relationship with God, but relationship with each other. And the church, you have a handout, you can start reading some of those benefits of the church and what happens on Sundays. And one of the biggest things I find is, you have the potential of developing lifelong relationships with people of like mind who will encourage you, who will stick with you through thick and thin. And I know some of our people here, they have families that do not stick with them. And so they embrace streams as their family, which is great. But now, what do you do with that? You have to reconcile your lives with your families in one way or another. And so what we tend to want them to do is begin to take these exercises, these things that Christ has taught us, and begin to move out on these things. Because we're not having one of these closet relationships. And I like to say at times where people say, well, Pastor, you know, my faith is private. That's only half the gig. You see, the responsibility of your privacy is only the time that you have between you and God. The rest of it should be with one another, should be outwardly expressed. And that's the whole purpose of the church, is coming together in unity to worship God and encourage one another and be built up in your holy faith. Let me read you a letter that a pastor sent to the congregation. He says, "Dear flock, as you well know, I am deeply committed as a sports enthusiast. Football in the fall, basketball in the winter, and baseball in spring and summer. But I've had it. I quit being an avid sports fan any longer. And you won't get me near any of their stadiums or arenas. And this is why. Every time I went to one of these events, they asked for money. The people I sat with weren't really friendly. The seats were often hard and uncomfortable. And you know what? The ref would make decisions that I just didn't happen to agree with. I suspect that I was sitting with some hypocrites, because all they did was come to see their friends and see what they were wearing, and they weren't paying attention to the game. Some of the games took too long to get over, while others just weren't any fun to watch. And the games are always scheduled when I have other things to do. And some of these games were so boring that I was falling asleep at them. I'm not going to take my kids to any of these games, because when they get older, they can decide for themselves what sports they want to watch and which ones are right for them." And this is the pastor. It was done in joke because of some of the reasons why people don't attend church. And it's sad, again, like I said, that we're looking for ways to not attend church, or maybe even not attend church, we just live busy lives. When we live busy lives, what happens in those cases is that there are two spirits that drive our lives. The spirit of humanism and the spirit of hedonism are behind these things, but they result in a lifestyle that is always active. We schedule things in our lives that stress us out, but yet we find that those are the things that we need to do because our friends and neighbors are involved in that. And because we have so much going on in our lives, the one that gets squeezed out, the one who died for us, Jesus Christ, is usually the first one who is chucked to the side. The other area of it is those who are always activity oriented or party oriented or entertain minded. These are people who are always involved in sports or some sort of thing. They're always watching TV. They're always today with gaming as big as it is. Believe it or not, this generation spends over 9 hours a day gaming. 9 hours a day. What a waste. I mean, I could game with you guys. I'm game, you know. But I'm not going to waste 9 hours of my life just sitting there with a controller. I mean, cut me a break. And I have our guys, they say, well, Pastor, it's relaxing. Okay. For 9 hours? At the expense of your family, your wives, your relationships? And this is what I'm trying to get us to understand, is that those things are not inherently wrong, but when they consume our lives away from God and the practical applying of Scripture to our lives, they are. They become our idols, and we don't even realize it. If you've heard anything today that may resound in your spirit, just check where you are with God. Just check in seeing that you know what? You're not here by chance and you're not here by mistake to hear what's going on. You know, the church needs to reassess its value system. All of us need to reassess our value system. And that doesn't mean that you gotta be there faithfully every Sunday. That's legalism, and I'm not into that. It's religion, and believe me, I am definitely not into religion. I'm into your commitment to Jesus Christ and anything I can help you with in that. You must keep a balance in your walk with Christ. If you miss a Sunday, like I said, you can worship God on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But spend time with Him. Spend time with other believers. Get edified. Get built up. Live the Word of God. Because only by that will you reap the benefits that God wants so much for all of us to have for our families and our generations in the future. The world is going into hell in a handbasket. And, you know, we really are the ones at fault because we have squeezed God out of our lives. And believe it or not, He wants you to invite Him back in. So go for it, you know. Look where you are. See what's going on in your lives. And put God first. Amen. Father, I just thank You for this time. I thank You for those who are visiting with us, God, and I pray that something has touched their heart. Lord, may You continue to build Your body, continue to edify the saints as we look to Your day, God, when You will come back and take us all home with You. I thank You in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.